So over the next few weeks, I'm going to reflect on the Beatitudes. So as Jesus sits down to teach a large crowd, he begins with this series of blessings. And tonight, in particular, I want to focus on the first of these sayings: Blessed are the poor. Now, the word beatitude means a state of extreme happiness. And the Greek word for blessed might also be translated as happy or fortunate. So we can easily imagine Jesus actually saying, "Happy are the poor." But does that mean these sayings are some kind of key to happiness? Is Jesus saying that the poor should be happy because they're poor? Or is he saying the poor are looked upon by God as favored in some way? Or maybe he's saying both of those things. And there's also the issue that the Gospel of Matthew says the poor in spirit are blessed, while Luke says just the poor are blessed. And so are those things the same thing, or are they different? And what does poor in spirit even mean? Now, some people interpret that phrase poor in spirit as some kind of spiritual bankruptcy that keeps one humble and leads one to realize their need for God. But I'm not sure that ever has made a lot of sense to me personally. If one is spiritually bankrupt and so you turn to God, then, well, you're no longer spiritually bankrupt and hence no longer poor in spirit. So in that case, poor in spirit almost seems like it becomes a problem to be healed rather than something that makes one happy. But what if Matthew, like Luke, means materially poor? One commentator I read believes that when Jesus says the poor in spirit, he thinks that Jesus is designating not characteristics of being humble and patient, but he's referring to people who are materially poor and whose spirits are crushed by economic injustice, deprivation of resources, and who have few options. In other words, Jesus doesn't say that suffering from poverty is a good thing that will make us happy, but he recognizes poverty's crushing effect on human lives and declares God's favor for those who suffer from it. And indeed, God's favor for the poor is attested to by the Bible's calls for justice. God seeks to liberate the poor from oppressive imperialism in the world. But this also doesn't mean that poor people should seek to be rich people. That's what capitalism would have us think, that the poor should strive to become wealthy ourselves. However, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus follows up, "Blessed are the poor," by saying, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." Wealth may bring material things, but it doesn't lead to a fulfilling life or bring us closer to God. When we pursue wealth, wealth becomes our God and our obsession, and it will turn us into the oppressors. And I think there's also yet another way of looking at this phrase, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Now, I'm not sure if it actually works in Greek, but in English, to be in the spirit of something is to take on its attitude or perspective. So to be poor in spirit might mean to take on the attitude of being poor, even if you're not actually poor. And if that is the case, then what Jesus is really teaching here is non-attachment to wealth. Maybe to be poor in spirit is to be liberated from our selfishness and the love of money. The idolatry of loving money is, in my opinion, one of humanity's greatest problems, greatest sins. It's one of the main things that keeps us separated from the loving divine presence and prevents us from our full potential, from becoming the people that God created us to be. Now, we might look at wealth and see all that humanity has accomplished, building skyscrapers, sending rockets to the moon. But we can also look at wealth and see how it is created on the backs of the poor. If we consider the oppression and the violence that has historically been generated by the pursuit of wealth, then we see it for the illness that it is. It's really a matter of how we create and use wealth, maybe even how we define wealth. Do we want a world where quarterly profit is our God, and everything, including human beings, is a resource to be used up and thrown away? Or do we want a world where we join together in harmony with God, each other, and nature to create community where we support and care for each other? Do we want a world ruled by a wealthy and powerful elite? We can see right now in our country the oppressive cruelties, corruption, and immorality such a world creates. Or do we want a world where all people have the opportunity to become their most fulfilled and authentic selves, a world also known as the kingdom of God? If that is the world we seek, then we must learn to leave our love of money and the accumulation of things behind us. Now, elsewhere, Jesus teaches that we cannot serve two masters. We can serve money or God, but not both. Their goals are fundamentally incompatible with each other. When we liberate ourselves from the love of money, then we are free to walk on God's way and enter into the kingdom of heaven. Consider the prophets, consider the words of the prophet Micah. The people that he's talking to are in disharmony, complaining, separated from the divine. And God, through Micah, asked the people why they have turned away after God led them out of slavery. The people have forgotten who they are supposed to be, and God asked them to remember. When we forget who we are created to be, we lose sight of the divine and seek idols such as wealth, which only lead us into chaos and oppression. And it even disrupts nature itself. We don't just abuse each other, but all of nature, which is why I think the prophet God, through the prophet Micah, calls upon the mountains and hills as a kind of jury. And then God asks the people to remember that God is the bringer of justice. When we remember that we are created to be the free people of a loving God, it allows us to break those cycles of oppression. And when the people remember, they begin to wonder how they can reconnect with God. How can they repair their covenant, their relationship with the divine? Should they share their wealth? Does God demand offerings from them? I think it almost reads as because they're selfish, they seem to think God must be greedy too. But Micah responds, God doesn't need rituals or offerings that are meant to placate and appease God. What is needed is to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with the divine presence. The people are asked to stop thinking about bribing God and let their attachment to wealth go. They're told to start acting like the loving people that God created them to be. Piety cannot be separated from justice because we only end up serving wealth and not God. Rituals and offerings are only important if they bring us, God, humanity, and nature, all closer together. Because what is needed is loving, healthy, supportive relationship. And God continues to call us to justice today. We live in a world that is ever increasingly turning to greed. Violence, intimidation, corruption, discrimination, and other tools of oppression are used regularly by our own government in order to build wealth and power for billionaires and white supremacists. Jesus is asking us to reject the idolatry of greed. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, the way of love. No one needs billions of dollars to be happy and fulfilled. What we need is to love and to support each other. What we need is to come together and make sure all people have food and shelter, to make sure nature is preserved and protected. We need to give up the pursuit of things and wean ourselves from selfishness. We need to listen to the words of Micah and do justice. Confront systems that exploit and marginalize people. Love kindness. Nurture solidarity and community. Walk humbly with God. Recognize the divine presence not just in ourselves, but in all of those who suffer in this world, who are voiceless and unable to speak up for themselves. This is how we walk God's way. These things are what will bring us happiness and fulfillment. If we practice justice, kindness, and humility, walking in harmony with the divine, then we will break our attachments to money and things, and we will begin to heal, liberating ourselves from selfishness and in turn beginning to heal the world. May it be so. Amen.